May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming one. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading today, Zephaniah chapter 1. Please join me in prayer. Lord, you promise us that if we continue in your word, we will know the truth, and that truth will set us free. Lord, help us this day and forever in our lives to remain in your word, to know your word, to hear your word. And give us the truth this day of sin, of salvation, of judgment, of heaven, of hell. Work in us repentance and faith that we ever cling to Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Let me begin today with an easy question. Can you name the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament? Well, all the grade school children can do that. The last 12 books of the Old Testament, the minor prophets. I'll give you a start. Join me. Hosea. I'm not going to say him. Pastor, don't help him. We'll be here for a while. This is like knowing that Tennessee is orange. All right? You should know this. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. It's about a C minus there, but you pass. Well, they're called minor prophets not because they're minor in importance, but because they're shorter books, shorter prophecies of the Old Testament. And today's Old Testament reading on this, the second to the last Sunday in the church year, we are winding up the church here, is from Zephaniah chapter 1. And it's pretty tough Old Testament reading. Who was Zephaniah? What's his message really? What's he got to do with me living some 2,600 years later than when he lived? That's what I want to talk about today. Let's look at the name Zephaniah. We'll talk about the name Zephaniah. The name Zephaniah literally means hide. Take cover. And we could say that is a message of Zephaniah's prophecy. That's a summary of what he teaches. Hide, First Lutheran. Take cover, First Lutheran. When do you hide? When do you take cover? When something harmful is approaching. When something bad is approaching. Then you hide. You take cover. And that really is what Zephaniah is about. Something harmful is coming. Something, quote, bad is coming. So hide, church, take cover. Zephaniah lived around 600, 630 in that time period, B.C., before Christ. And to recall your Old Testament history quickly. Under the reign of David and Solomon, the nation of Israel was the greatest nation on earth. Everything's going pretty well under David and Solomon, though Solomon introduces idolatry, and that's going to cause a problem. But after the reign of Solomon around 900 B.C., the nation splits in half, if you know your history. There's the north and the south. It splits in half. Trouble. Division. And both the north and the south fall into great idolatry. They worship the false gods of the land. The main false god is Baal. He supposedly is a rain god who makes the rain come down. And his girlfriend is Asherah, who is the goddess of the earth, who makes the crops grow. False gods. And Israel loves these gods. There are pagan altars all over the land. They worship Baal and Asherah and the other gods of the land. And God is very, very upset, isn't he? And so God sends prophets. And the prophets warn the people, repent, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn back to God. He loves you. He wants you. He'll forgive you. The Messiah is coming. Come back, come back. Repent. But largely speaking, the people don't repent. And so, by the judgment of God, the northern kingdom of Israel is destroyed by Assyria, 721-ish B.C. That is a miniature judgment day. You disobey, I'll be patient, I'll warn you. But if you continue in that, there'll be a judgment day. And God punishes his own people because they're not his people. They're idolaters at this time. Well, you have the south left. And the capital of the south is Jerusalem, the capital city, God's city, the city of David. Come on, the temple's there. Would the people of the south of Jerusalem, Judah, would they learn the lesson of the north? To repent and do it quickly. Turn from your idols. Well, of course, they do not. They largely remain in their idolatry. There's a small group now, a small remnant, the Bible calls them, of those that really believe in the true God. But most of them do not. They continue to stray. And so God's angry. Actually, in Zephaniah's day, Manasseh was a king in Jerusalem. He was the worst king of Judah. Terrible king, Manasseh. He reigned 55 years. You know, we're tired of a president after 8 years, or after 4 years maybe. 55 years of this guy, Manasseh, king. And he brings much idolatry into the country. Pagan altars everywhere. He even brings pagan altars to the temple of Solomon. Can you imagine the temple of God having pagan altars in it? This is like Pastor and I allowing an altar to Buddha here in church. Or to Allah. Or to a Hindu god. Let's worship the true God and all these other gods. Pick your God day. This is an abomination. And you should run from the church. God will share his glory with no one. He's the only true God. But this is what Manasseh does. Manasseh even introduces child sacrifice, where they sacrifice their own children to the gods for favor. Terrible king, and that's Zephaniah's day. And then after him is Amon, and Amon is no better. He's a terrible king too, an idolatrous king. So in that context, Zephaniah lives. Zephaniah is given a very tough job, very, very tough job, to preach against the idolatry of the day, against the kings of the day. And commentators think that Zephaniah may have been related to Amon and Manasseh. He might have been the nephew of Amon, the great nephew of Manasseh, part of the royal family, given a tough job to preach law. And in Zephaniah's book, which is three chapters long, it's a very short book, go home and read it. Three chapters, 53 total verses in three chapters. It is some of the most severe, graphic law you have in the entire Bible. It is full strength, in your face law against idolatry and wickedness of supposedly God's people, but they're no longer his people. They've strayed to other gods. In the 53 verses of Zephaniah, 18 times he speaks of this day coming. The great day of the Lord is coming. A day is coming. We have it in the Old Testament reading there at the end. The great day of the Lord is near. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud. There will be crying and wailing in the city of Jerusalem. A day of wrath is that day. A day of distress and anguish. A day of ruin, devastation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet blast and battle cry. It's a terrible day. And you're all worried about the American economy today. And who's going to be the football coach? Talking about a terrible day of God to come, a day of judgment against idolatry and wickedness. And it'll start in Jerusalem. What is this day? Well, in Zephaniah's day, it is when Babylon comes. The great nation of Babylon comes, 586 BC, and destroys Jerusalem and Judah, wipes them off the face of the earth, kills many of them, knocks down the temple of God. How could that happen? How could God allow his house to be torn down and burned? Because God was no longer there, you see. God had left. You don't want me, I'll leave. God's a gentleman. And when God leaves, there's devastation that comes afterward. 586, Babylon comes and destroys the holy city of Jerusalem, lays waste to the land. That's a miniature judgment day. That's the great day of the Lord, the day of anguish and bitterness. And Zephaniah is saying to the people throughout the prophecy, hide! Take cover! Hide! The great day of God's coming. Judgment's coming. You better hide and take cover. And the wonders of God's mercy is that God provides a hiding place for the small remnant that believes. There's always some that believe. And what's the hiding place for this small number? They are taken back to Babylon, actually. Babylon kills many, but they take some back to Babylon as slaves. This would be Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego that are in the fiery furnace. This would be Daniel, possibly Ezekiel. A small remnant that believe, largely believe. They're taken back and they hide in Babylon. And then if you know your history, 70 years later they come back to Jerusalem and they rebuild. And from that rebuilt nation comes the Messiah some 400 years later. Well, that's Zephaniah's history. What's it got to do with me, Pastor? How does it really relate to me? Well, we got to understand that as we read this prophecy, There's really a double meaning. When Zephaniah speaks of this great day of anguish, of bitterness, of wrath, of crying and wailing, gloom and darkness, he's not merely talking about Babylon 586 BC, which is 2,600 years ago. He's talking about another greater day of the Lord too, prophesying of another day of anguish, gloom, darkness, crying, wailing, when the Lord's going to come. He's speaking of the last day, isn't he? When God doesn't send Babylon, God himself comes to judge. He doesn't bring an army of Babylonians. He brings the army of angels to judge and to punish all evildoers and all idolaters. He doesn't just judge Jerusalem and Judah. He judges the entire world. America, Japan, China, Russia, Australia, the whole world stands before God. And every person, this is the gospel lesson today, everyone will stand before God and give an account. No one slips by and gets through. It is common to speculate, when's that day going to come when God returns? What are the signs of that day? It's more important to consider, what am I supposed to do before that day comes? And again, Zephaniah's message would be, hide! Take cover! The great day of judgment's coming! It's coming! Hide! Take cover! And where do we hide this day? Where do we take cover? Well, do we hide in a cave somewhere, like Osama bin Laden, hiding from American troops and getting away with it, I guess, for now? Unless he's dead already, I guess. Do we hide in a bomb shelter somewhere? That won't help you. We hide in the one safe place, the only safe place, the only shelter, the only refuge, the only hiding place, and that is God's own Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God's mercy, his love for us, always trumps his judgment. So God himself has provided in love a hiding place that we escape his wrath. A shelter, a refuge. And that shelter, that hiding place that God himself has provided is his own Son, Jesus. And the cross of Calvary. That's the safe hiding place. There we're protected. There God's wrath will not touch us, for his wrath has already been placed on his Son. And we are forgiven and we're free and we look forward to that final day. When I was in trouble as a boy, and that happened occasionally, you might imagine, and I knew I was in trouble, you know, what would I try to do? I tried to blame it on my brothers, that it was really their fault, not mine. That didn't work a whole lot because my mom and dad knew better. So when I knew I was going to get it, what would I do? What do kids do when you know you're going to get it? You know you're in trouble. You know you're going to be punished. Well, I'd often run upstairs and hide under the covers. I'd run upstairs in my bedroom and hide under the covers from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes as to hide under the covers. It usually didn't work, did it? Well, isn't that what we do in baptism that works? We hide under the covers in baptism. We're hiding in the righteousness of Jesus, the covering of Jesus here. That's why we're baptized in the name of Jesus. We hide in Jesus, we're protected from the wrath of God on the final day. Our sins are washed away. We're hidden people. Got a good hiding place. When pastors pronounce absolution, we make the sign of the cross, you're forgiven. That cross, in a way, is saying, you're covered. Your debt's been paid. You have a hiding place. You're sheltered. You're protected. Here's your covering, the cross. Not your money, not your good works, but the cross covers you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that final day. Look forward to it. It's the day of salvation. And after you commune today, make the sign of the cross again several times. Depart in peace. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're covered. The cross covers you. Jesus died for you. Your sins are forgiven. His righteousness covers you. Don't be afraid. Go in peace. And then to make sure you got it in the benediction, the end of church, the final great gesture of a minister, arms out, the sign of the cross, you are covered. If he didn't get it the last hour and a half, get it now. You're covered. His blood covers you. You're free. You're forgiven. You're sheltered. You're protected. Don't be afraid. Lift up your head. Your redemption is near, the Bible says. Don't run and hide. You already have a hiding place, Jesus. Look up. Salvation's here. And so, as people that are hidden in Jesus, that have the sure hiding place from the coming judgment, go tell somebody else. Now, here's your challenge. Go tell somebody else about your hiding place. You know, who's here played hide and seek before? Everybody's played hide and seek. If you have a really, really good hiding place, do you tell other people your hiding place? No. Because there's usually not enough room. And you want to win the game. You don't tell anybody your secret hiding place because you want to win. Well, we're not here to win a game of hide and seek. We are here to win souls for heaven. And so go forth and tell the world your hiding place is Jesus. They ask you, what are you doing, church? They're at that Lutheran church. Tell them to come and hide. We hide under Jesus, in Jesus, forgiven. We're reassured, we're safe, we're secure in Jesus. That's why I come to church. Now you come too and learn of this great hiding place called Jesus Christ. There's plenty of room for everybody. Zephaniah, some 2,600 years after he lived, still shouts. The Spirit shouts through him. The great day of the Lord is near. A day of anguish and trouble and gloom and darkness. The day of the Lord is near. Hide, take cover. And praise be to God, who has provided the perfect, safe hiding place, His Son. We are safe in Him forever. Go tell the good news. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As God's children, let us now pray to Him.